I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Today, I would like to pick up where I left off last time as we were talking about the great changes that have come about in local churches today. And I'm going to entitle this section of study to this purpose-driven or purposely deceived as our title for this. If you'll remember, the last time I spoke about contemporary music doing things and bringing changes to local churches. I talked about several of the churches, how that things have changed in Highland Park Baptist Church, Landmark Baptist Church, and Bethlehem Baptist Church in Fairfax, Virginia. These churches, and Temple Baptist Church of Detroit, Michigan, these churches were once pillars of the faith, and they seem to have gone by the way of the world now, trusting in man-made schemes in order to bring people in for entertainment or whatever you would call it. They've changed. And one of the churches that I had attended, was a member of, and this school was one of my alma maters. I attended Thomas Road Bible Institute and graduated from that school. And at that time, Thomas Road Bible Institute was a part of Liberty Baptist College, which became Liberty, or Lynchburg Baptist College, which later became Liberty Baptist College. And in 1985, the name changed from Liberty Baptist College to Liberty University. And during this time, Thomas Road Bible Institute, during that time I was there, men and women of God were brought in to teach and preach the Word of God. Liberty University now, in 2015, has rock musicians coming in to entertain the students. When I was a student at Thomas Road Bible Institute, men and women of God were brought in to teach and preach the Word of God. When I was a member of Thomas Road Baptist Church, it was a fundamental, independent King James Version Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church. It is now an anything-goes-to-get-a-crowd Southern Baptist Entertainment Center. By the way, Thomas Road Baptist Church and Liberty University now have charismatics and homosexual sympathizers entertaining church members and students. God help us. Well, there's many things that can be said, and as we think of how these churches have gone, sometimes we get discouraged, but I got news for you. God's not finished yet. God is still on the throne, and He's still in charge. And one of these days, I believe we're going to still see revival in this country. You and I, who hold to the Word of God and do what God wants us to do according to His plan and His message, those of us who stick to the Word and pray and seek God's face, I believe that we're going to see a great revival. But we need to keep praying. And we need to realize and keep realizing that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by My Spirit, God says, that anything is done for Him. It's by Him. It's through Him. Only by Him. Not man-made ways of getting people saved. We can't save anyone. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by giving the Word of God out, telling people how to be saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's by the blood of Christ that anyone is saved and goes to heaven. Well, there are many ways a local church can be led astray. One way a local church can be led astray is to stray from the basic fundamentals of the Bible. And the basic fundamentals of the Bible is found in the Bible. We're witnessing a widespread collapse of separatism. And when you say that word around someone who has gone, quote-unquote, contemporary, they automatically, it seems that the hair goes up on their neck and they start saying, you separate from everybody. You think everybody's wrong. Well, might I say that they're wrong? Because separatism is not that at all. We're to go out and tell people how to be saved. We're to be separate from the world, not live like the world, act like the world, look like the world, smell like the world, and be like the world, but we're to be as God has told us to be. Over the past 50 years, fundamental Baptists have composed the largest part of those who proclaim standards for the Christian found in the Bible. Fundamental Baptist churches today, in general, are radically different in character from what they were when I was saved in 1972. Well, what is happening now among many fundamental Baptist churches is exactly what happened within evangelicalism in the 1950s. It is the rejection of separation. This means biblical standards in favor of liberalism, anything goes, and so forth. When I was saved over 40 years ago, the major thing that distinguished fundamental Baptists from Southern Baptists was biblical separation standards. But that distinction is disappearing with the merging of philosophy among many independent Baptist churches and the Southern Baptist denomination. This rejection of separation is sweeping through fundamental Baptist churches. And I am convinced that unless there is a dramatic change, more and more fundamental Baptist churches and quote-unquote Christian schools will be adopting the philosophies of the new evangelical emerging church movement. Now, many local churches today are being overshadowed and replaced with what is called the purpose-driven church. Dr. Rick Warren stated on May 23, 2005, at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, and I quote, he said the word fundamentalist actually comes from a document in the 1920s called the Five Fundamentals of the Faith, and it is a very legalistic, narrow view of Christianity, end of quote. Well, what fundamentals was he referring to that it seems that he's saying we don't need those things because they're legalistic and a narrow view of Christianity? Well, those five fundamentals, first of all, is number one, the Bible. That's the first fundamental that he's talking about, the Bible. In other words, he's saying that it's legalistic and has a narrow view of Christianity. Can you imagine someone saying that? Well, the Bible talks about, you know, we look at it and we read it and we know that it is inerrant. There are no mistakes. There are no mistakes in the Bible. Now, let me say this, that you'll find mistakes in the perversions, the so-called versions of the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 in the King James Bible, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, Christ said this. Christ did this. He quoted us in beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. This was Christ doing this. So are the Scriptures important? Is the Bible important? Yes, it is. But Rick Warren uses about, I don't know how many different versions, quote unquote, and perversions he uses and quotes from. But how is an unsaved person supposed to know what is right and what is wrong? I've heard some say, well, you Christians, you don't even know what Bible to use. How am I supposed to know what's right and what's wrong? I'll tell you how to know what's right and what's wrong. You stick with the tried and true, the proven Word of God. And I believe that is the King James Bible. The Bible is inerrant. There are no mistakes. And it has full authority. Romans 10:11 says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Did you notice the word Scripture? 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy, and that Scripture, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Acts 18:28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. If you don't use the Scriptures, how are you going to show that Christ is Jesus and Jesus is the Christ? Psalm 119 verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of the Word. What is the Bible? It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Scriptures. It's what God has given us to present to this lost and dying world. So the first fundamental that Rick Warren says evidently is saying here that is legalistic is the Bible. And the second fundamental is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me that there was a virgin birth that took place. Luke 1, 34 and 35 says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Isaiah 7, 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And let me stop there just a moment and say that those perversions that leave out that word virgin are perversions. That word virgin. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold," and they say, "Behold, a young woman shall conceive." Well, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." She was a virgin. She had never been with a man. The Holy Ghost came upon her. And we know that Christ was born of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Matthew 1:18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Jesus Christ, according to what Rick Warren has said, well, that's just a fundamental that's unimportant anymore. The inerrant Word of God, that's the Bible. The virgin birth, well, that's not important anymore, he says. And we see that as we read on that Jesus was deity. He was given divine names, names that can only be given to God. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let me ask you today, have you trusted the Prince of Peace? Do you know him as your Savior? The Lord wants you to be saved. He wants you to know his Son as Savior. You need to ask God to save you today by saying, "Lord, come into my heart. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you were buried, and I believe you rose from the grave that I could have eternal life. Come into my heart and save me today." If you'll pray that prayer, God will save you. He says, "To as many as received him," that's Jesus, "to them gave he the power to become the sons of God."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.